you very much for the invitation to come and talk to you today. I've got sort of a broad range of things to cover off, but basically I want to talk about how we unlock the potential of our data. So I have been in the New South Wales government for nearly 20 years, and for most of that it has been in information management related roles. So as Jeff said, I've only been the director here for about 6 months. It's been an interesting 6 months and some very interesting developments which I will get to. So one of the key things that I think you'd be familiar with, and I'm sure my colleague Sonia Sherman has spoken to you about, is the New South Wales ICT strategy and the importance that information plays within that ICT strategy. I've got a couple of handouts for you today, and I've put them outside just after where you were having morning tea. That's the Digital Plus, which is the latest ICT strategy, and also the ICT case studies. They're two of our latest publications that relate to the work we do across all agencies and how we ask agencies through the information management framework to manage their information better, including how that information is shared, better for service delivery but also for open data. So you can see from this slide, this is an extract from the ICT strategy, that better information sharing is one of the key deliverables, but also that open data, information management and information sharing are also part of the enablers to the ICT strategy. So we feature very heavily in what the government's agenda is about driving ICT forward. One of our stakeholder groups that we work very closely with is the Enabling Information Sharing Working Group. And most clusters are represented on that group, and some of the reports and mechanisms by which that group operates includes the Information Management Community of Expertise, which is something that is led by Sonia Sherman, and I think a lot of you are involved in that. And that's the mechanism by which we bring a lot of our standards, policies, guidelines forward and socialise those and get your input into what those policies should look like. The sharing information assets piece, I'll talk about in more detail later, but basically that's the Data New South Wales and the Information Asset Register and how we bring sort of those registers and updates to different agencies about what data is available for their use. And an important part there too, which I don't talk a lot about, is the location-enabled data. So I'm not sure if any of you are familiar, but we actually have a location intelligence strategy, which relates to how we use our spatially-enabled data, how we have non-spatial data better enabled in a spatial environment, and how we look at the visualisations to make that spatial data more powerful. And I will learn where the button is on the keyboard. So I'm sure you have seen this before. This is our life cycle model to the information management framework. And what we're asking agencies to do is apply this model to your own information management regimes and bring up your own ICT strategy and framework to align with the whole of government model. So now I'm getting into grips with being the director responsible for the whole range of activities across this framework, where in the past I concentrated most on the use and the share, I'm now also very much involved in the secure. And that's a very interesting role to have. So I find myself quite often, lock it up, protect it, let it free, it needs to be used. I get a bit dizzy from all the policies that we administer here. But it's important to know that information has lots of dimensions and lots of different contexts. And I think, again, you're familiar with this, affectionately known as the patchwork quilt. The idea here is that it's not a complete... It's not a complete framework, that there's always room to grow, to add, to bring new resources and tools in for agencies' use. So the blank boxes are not really elements that are missing, it's that we have space to grow the framework. So there's a couple of key things in here that I'll talk about, including open data and information security. So the open data piece, I think I have spoken to you about before, which focuses largely on the open data policy, but also Apps for New South Wales. And Apps for New South Wales has been a really valuable program for government, where we've worked very closely with the developer community to find out what type of data should be made available, what they can do with it, but also manage expectation on the part of agencies about how much data they want, they can release. I heard a story from my own agency where we've created a proprietary system that in order to get a data extract from costs $25,000. So doing that three or four times a year is a massive overhead for a small business unit. What value is there in that open data to be made available on a regular basis? And so having a conversation with the developer community about how useful that data is actually helps us build those policy connections about, is it worth the investment, or do we target other more high value items that will add value in the open data community, as opposed to, oh, well, this is expensive to extract, so therefore it must be good. A lot of people talk to me about the value of open data and why should they do it. I'm going to talk a little bit later about the Innovation Prevention Officer, and this is quite where they land, which is about, well, why should we do open data? What's this open data thing about? So these are the points that I like to talk to agencies about, why we go to the trouble of having that extra step in our day, an extra step in our processes to release open data. Because at the end of the day, we collect, use, share, maintain secure data for our own government processes. But we need to start making that extra step, and these are some of the reasons why. So being open and transparent, this aligns with the state plan, and having a more accountable government. And yes, we've all got fingers crossed, we'll see the new state plan any day. But it contributes to the digital economy. And this is something that Minister Dominello is very passionate about, and the value that New South Wales government can add without really knowing the end benefit to how developers and startups can start to use our data to drive investment in the economy. Greater understanding between agencies of what data we hold. So again, this comes back to Data New South Wales and the Information Asset Register, and making sure that we have some transparency about what we hold across data. And of course, evidence-based policy and having the right information available to us to make the right decisions. One of the elements of the open data policy, which you may be familiar with, is that we have an open data implementation plan. This is one of the few policies in government that I've seen that has such a very clear public face to what we aim to do by having that policy in place. So we have a phased approach and multiple actions. We also have a bit of a dashboard on the side there about how much data has been released by agencies. It's not about marking agencies' homework, it's about being transparent for people using data in New South Wales to see how much data is being released and how that changes over time. So, show of hands, who's used data in New South Wales? Oh, I'm going to be heartbroken. Okay, well now you have a job to do, to go to Data New South Wales for me. So we're trying to tell a story here about what the value is of data. So it's not just about the rows and the columns, and I've got a lot of friends who are mathematicians and they'll tell me that it is, and then I tell them I'm a sociologist and they cross the road to not walk next to me. But part of what we're trying to do with this splash of Data New South Wales is to show the story behind the data. So we want to get to the, well, what does it mean if we measure how long travel time takes? Well, we can say that it takes 5 minutes longer to get to work if you live in Campbelltown. That's an interesting fact. It might not mean a lot to me right now, but it's more than rows and columns. But also in the latest iteration of Data New South Wales, we added a button there to allow the public to request a data set. And it's been an interesting experiment. The things that the general public think that the government holds, it's very interesting. They also ask quite specific questions. What's the level of borrowing in soil? How do I get my American Express bill altered? Could you stop truckies using CB radios as they go down the highway because it's interfering with my TV reception? So I think there's a general feeling out there that we actually have a lot more data than we do, or certainly a lot more power than we do. So in a very unscientific study, so again, done by a sociologist, we took 240-odd people's responses to what they'd like to see next in terms of information and open data strategy. And these were the results. So The value proposition about the release of open data I've sort of spoken about. How do we know that making the investment and getting something beyond its native system adds value? So, perhaps leveraging the Digital State Archives. If you're already exporting from your core business system for archival purposes, can you export from there for general access as well? What can be done in that space? The partnership between government and non-government entities. There was a ministerial announcement early last week, which I think you may have heard about, called the Data Analytics Centre, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. And the priority release schedule for open data. What we've identified through that request a data set and talking to agencies and think tanks and forums like this is asking if more government data were to be made available, what would you like it to be? Where should we focus our attention? And unfortunately, do ask 242 people, you get 242 different answers. But we've tried to bring together all of that survey and research into a bit of a picture for where people see the opportunities for innovation and development. So I'm not sure, I think the highest call there might be for central government, so that might have been weighted by the people who are in the room. DPC want their data out there. But I think it's very interesting that there wasn't the massive call for things like health data or transport data that you would have expected. It's a more balanced, yeah, everybody's got an interest in something. So we're currently working with agencies to try and identify a forward release schedule of when they will get to releasing some more data and making people aware of what that data will be. The other aspect to open data is that it's not just available, but it's available in a format and in a license that people can reuse it. So I do love to tell tales of my own organisation, and the mother group I was talking to said, oh yes, we're going to release a lot of complaints data. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. And I said, oh, we've got a bit of an issue about whether or not the complaint's been validated. So, we've got to make it clear that it's just raw data and we actually haven't run any quality over that. I said, well, that's fine. I said, as long as people can use it. I said, oh, we'll put it in a PDF. We'll lock it down. We'll make sure no one can manipulate it because, they might do things with it. So trying to get that message out that open is about open format, open availability and open licensing. So wherever possible, Creative Commons, attribution. Put it out there so that people can use it. So the new terrifying part of my portfolio is the information security space. As I said, been in government nearly 20 years, and for some of that I was at New South Wales Police, but I have forgotten quite a lot of my time there. So coming back into information security was quite an eye-opening experience. But a few very interesting things have happened in the last 6 months. First thing was the Commonwealth Government have announced a review of cyber security, and that review is quite broad-ranging. It takes into account how businesses are using the internet and cyber attacks, as well as what our priorities are in New South Wales for cyber security, where we see our vulnerabilities, what type of attacks are we getting, how are we sharing that information with each other. Very, very interesting space. So the federal government is doing some work in that area, and there's going to be an announcement about some new initiatives coming to New South Wales in that space. The other thing that we've done is update the Digital Information Security Policy, or the DISP. Part of the update has aligned us with the federal government's requirements for managing sensitive information, and we have added two new DLMs for handling information. So this would be of interest to quite a lot of you about how information is classified, handled and managed. The difference between the policy and the guidelines is the policy relates to the electronic or digital environment and the guidelines relate to all media. So it's very interesting that the handling requirements in some of the digital space, depending on the level of classification, may require a physical solution. So the two new DLMs we've added are health, personal and law enforcement. So they can be used under the sensitive classified label. Oh, I should say there are circulars A circular has been released for the DIST, and a circular is shortly to be released for the guidelines. So, what I really want to talk to you today about that is new and exciting is the ICT strategy for 2015-2016. And live right now, and if you can get to it via Data New South Wales, so that will improve my website numbers, is that you can go in and link through to Have Your Say and actually work through the new version of Digital Plus. So this is last year's version. And have your input on a number of questions relating to the new version of the ICT strategy. So it's been divided into three main questions. The first one is about how we operate. How we operate as a government. What type of data and information do we use? How can we support security and manage information? And how do we build a culture of innovation in government? So when I talk about innovation, I talk about changing the world. Perhaps we're changing the world one publication at a time, and I think it's very interesting that I have hard copies here of Digital Plus. The second question is about how we interact. How do we improve the experience of using government services through digital channels? So I think you're all familiar with Service New South Wales, but how do we implement more digital in our daily lives, and how do we have a better integration so that there's seamless service there? I found it very interesting this morning that with Opal cards, you can update an Opal card with cash at 7-Eleven or Woolworths, but not at CityRail. You can only use a card to update your Opal data at CityRail. So it's not a consistent approach to service delivery. And how do we better enable citizens and industry in the design of our solutions? I ran a program late last year about developing an app for mental health. And we actually asked mental health practitioners and sufferers to come and be part of that experience and design the app from the ground up with them in mind, how they would use it, what it needed to achieve. And it was very, very successful. It was a new experience for health, and it was a new experience for us, having that very broad by design approach. So be very interested to have your feedback into how we can incorporate more of that into the ICT strategy. And the third area is about how we invest. So I think you would have all heard from your own agencies about having to do more with less. How do we utilise ICT to grow the digital economy, create efficiency and effectiveness in our own businesses, and how can we achieve better value for money in our ICT investment? So they're the three areas. I encourage you all to go to Have Your Say and tell us what you think of either the old Digital Plus or these questions and how we can start to shape the new ICT strategy. And there's a link directly to it at the bottom of those three screens. So the most exciting thing to happen in government in my 20 years, it's a bold call, but I'm going to make it, the creation of the Data Analytics Centre. So for the first time in government, we will have the authority, and this was endorsed by Cabinet in late June, to undertake data analytics across clusters so that we can have that power and that vision to go beyond what's capable in a single entity, to look at where data can provide those insights, can provide that input for us to design better policy and have better service delivery outcomes. So these are the key points that the DAC is trying to achieve. Trusted data, better intelligence from our data, an evidence base for our policy, make the best use of our investment, sounding a bit like the ICT strategy, direct investment into programs which will have the greatest benefit, and apply data interoperability standards. So I can hear Sonia's voice from the 24th, 3rd floor cheering that we shall have some data and interoperability standards for this. So this was announced by Minister Dominello last Monday at UTS, and if anyone's interested in more information about that, please get in touch. It's a very exciting opportunity. So I talked about how we unlock the potential of our data. We do that by vanquishing the Innovation Prevention Officer. So what are the Innovation Prevention Officers out there doing? They're not engaging with their stakeholders. They're ignoring our feedback. They're locking down their open data. Yes, they work in this building. They worship the silo and they don't want to share information with anybody else. They believe in online opacity. I suggested that they might believe in online opaqueness, and a colleague pointed out, no, the Innovation Prevention Officer doesn't use words that other people understand. They always say no to change. They're very resistant. and they don't tell people what they're doing. And I think that it's a very important part of what we do, that we share and that we are transparent in what we're trying to achieve with our information. So these are some of the excuses that we need to vanquish from our vocabulary. We don't see the value. We can't leave the data because it's incomplete. It costs too much. The files are too large. We've never done it before. I'm unsure about the quality. And these are some of the myths that we're trying to break down. So it's a little bit too soon to share with all of you the details, but we have developed a new data quality reporting tool. So helping to tell the story about fitness for purpose of your data at the same time as that data is published. So probably at the next records management forum that'll be ready to be demonstrated. So I describe myself as a grey cardigan. I want you all to be grey hoodies. We have to embrace working with new ways, new people. It's not just about the old ways of doing things in government. I am quite proud of this chap here in the tie. He's not ready to let go completely. He's still a bit corporate, but he's got his hoodie. And also that there's a woman. She might be hiding over there near the whiteboard or the flip chart, but she's there. So get out there and innovate. Thank you.